everybody. Welcome to my world. How's your world been so far? Isn't this weather crazy? First it's hot, then it cools down a little bit, then we get some snow, and then we get bad winds and everything else. It's getting crazy out there. Hopefully, we're going to be done with that next week. I'm hoping that it's finally going to be somewhat like spring. We need it. Anyhow, guys, welcome to my world. I hope your world has been going pretty good. We're going to be talking about data centers tonight and a few other things, and I've got some funny things to show you too. But before we get going, you know, we always have to do a disclaimer, and nothing in the show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take what we say with a big grain of salt and always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. So sit back, relax, chill out. Hey, did you bring your favorite snack and your beverage? Are you sitting back and being comfortable? You got a couple seconds to do it. And oh, hey, tell your friends about the show and, you know, let them know we're on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. live. And also, we're on YouTube and Rumble. So if you missed the show, you can always catch the replays. And we've got to do a big shout out to the Trim Radio Network and a few other little things. So I better get to that or I'm going to be in trouble. Nah, not really. They give me a little latitude here. A little. Anyhow, guys, welcome to the Trim Radio Network, better known as trimradio.com. We've got our Fab Four. We've got Michael Bejas, who's the founder. We've got Rascala Stefan, who's the chief operating officer and overall guru on computers. We have me, and that's chief relationship officer, and I haven't figured that one out. Supposedly, I'm supposed to be responsible for building and maintaining the foundational trust and goodwill necessary for long-term success. Well, hopefully we get long-term success because we have fun doing these shows. And then we have Victoria Smith, and she's the chief marketing officer, and she's responsible for all marketing activities, brand development, audience growth, and creator acquisition strategies. Boy, that's a long one. Anyhow, if your club, your fraternity, sorority, business, or any other group needs advice on marketing, you have to check with Victoria. She's fantastic at it. She really is. Hey, you know, people ask me about, what is Trim Radio? And basically, it's a bunch of creators. And we do our own shows, and you can do your own show too. You can pitch your own show. You can do live streams. All you have to do is go to trimradio.com, and that's it. Okay? It's very simple to do. Hey, our shows. We've got Money and Change every Sunday at 7 p.m. It's live, except when I do concerts, and I've got 5 concerts so far, maybe 6 for the year. And I will let you know when that happens, and you can watch our encore editions, better known as replays. And all you have to do is just go to our Facebook page for Money and Change, and they will be listed there. Also, Money and Change's Facebook page has a lot of videos and stuff in it too, which will maybe help you save some money along the way or let you know what's going on in the world of spending money and saving money, better known as finance. Okay, we also have Life Walk with Christ God. That is with Michael Bejas, and he's on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We have My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever every Wednesday live at 8 p.m. And you can watch our replays on YouTube and Rumble. Just look for Trim Radio. And it'll search it up, and then you'll find My World and Money and Change and everybody else that's a part of the show. It's real easy to do. And we also have archives. You can check those out too. We also have, of course, Victoria Smith's Natural Marketer podcast. That's every Thursday. We have Offsides College Football Top 25 with Michael Bejas and company. We have Positude podcast every Friday at 8 p.m. We have Adventure Waits Around the Bend at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck, and that's every Saturday at 1:30. And then for you night owls out there, we have the Red Pill Reality Show with Rascal Stefan, and he's on 9 p.m. on Saturdays and goes till midnight. And I'll tell you what, he's got a good show. He brings in good guests. I've been on there a couple of times. I'll tell you what, it's kind of fun. You know, he always says, well, you can take the red pill or the blue pill. And I always tell him I want the green pill. And he hasn't been able to do that for me. And one of these days he's going to slip me a pill. And I have a feeling it's going to be a kidney tracer. Wow. Anyhow, watch that show. It's a good one. We also have Revelation with Peter Kling. And I believe he's on Thursdays. And then also we have Let's Talk About It with Dora Sherry. And she is on Tuesdays. So you check out our schedule and watch the shows. And I'll tell you what, we still have a blank space over here. And all you have to do, if you want to do your own show, let us know. And we'll set you up and we'll tell you exactly how you need to use StreamYard, because that's what we use. It's very easy to use if I can talk my fingers into pressing the right buttons. Sometimes it gets a little touchy, and it's only with me. Somehow I think it doesn't like me for some reason. I don't know. But anyhow, those are the shows that we've got. If you want to do your own show, then let us know, and we will help you right through it. Very easy to do. Also, you know how to support the shows? All you have to do is either donate or buy the merchandise or advertise. It's very easy to do. So I didn't set this up tonight with advertising, but I will do that. We'll just go to collectibles and hit the shop. And here it is. We've got t-shirts, we've got hats, we've got mugs, we've got money and change t-shirts, we've got money and change mugs with lids. Insulated travel mugs, they are really good. We've got ceramic mugs. We've had a deal where we have premium Piqué polo shirts for offsides. We also have the t-shirts. And then we go to the next page. If it ever loads, come on, you can do it. Come on. I have a feeling the mice are not cooperating tonight. What in the heck is going on here? Oh, there we are. We have kids' t-shirts. We have mugs and more Red Pill Reality Show t-shirts. We have a round mouse pad with no corners on it, so you can't corner the mouse pad. Anyhow, we've got the Trim Creators Dad's Hat. We've got ornaments. We've got beanies for those of you that still have cold weather. And don't mention the S-N-O-W word. It's a nasty word. Also, we have the Trim Creators Rubber Case for AirPods. You buy the AirPods, and to keep you from losing them, put them in the rubber case that we have, okay? But you got to buy that. And that money that we get, either through donations, advertisements, or through buying the merch, goes into paying for airtime, because airtime is not cheap. It really isn't. Now, if you want to contact us, it's easy. All you have to do is click on Contact Us, and we're in Irmo, South Carolina, which is basically a suburb of Columbia, South Carolina. And you can support us. And here's the deal. It's 803-303-8667. And that's 803-303-8667. So you can call us and say, hey, I want to do my own show. Or you can email us at info@trimradio.com. And our office hours are Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And don't call us on Sunday. Please don't call us on Sunday. But you can call us any other day of the week between 10 and 4. And that's it for the Trim Radio Network. Now, it was St. Patty's Day, wasn't it? Well, maybe we ought to listen to this one. I found this one rather humorous. Dancing chickens. Can you believe that? For St. Patty's Day, they're dressed up in Irish garb and riding around as, what would we call those guys? ZZ Top. Yeah, they look like ZZ Top, don't they? I'll tell you what, this AI, artificial intelligence, sometimes drives me up a wall, and sometimes it gets very humorous. This was pretty humorous. I saw this the other day, and I thought I had to play it on the show. I really did. Hey, we've got our Facebook page for not only for Money and Change, but we also have it for My World. And, of course, this is the AI picture of me. I don't know. I guess it's me. Kind of looks like me. Oh, well, I don't have a headset. I never wear a headset for some reason. But anyhow, we have stuff that we always put on here, and we always show things to people and say, okay, if you want to watch the show, here it is. We're going to tell you what's on it. And tonight I said, you know, watch us at 8 p.m., trimradio.com. We'll be discussing why governmental entities like to drag their feet when responding to an information request. And of course, that'll be Quentin Kidd. Plus much more. But we also have Barry Blankenship with us. And he's going to join us. And he was on a couple of weeks ago. And we had a good discussion on different things. And it's all part of this movement on data centers. And it's getting to be a little touchy, especially around where I live, because outside of Pickwell, Ohio, they've torn down a whole bunch of trees. They're going to tear down a whole bunch of buildings and put up two data centers. And they're taking a lot of farmland to do it. But today I found out something. I was going to dinner in Troy, Ohio, and I always go down Farrington Road. And there's another road that goes down to Troy from there. And I thought, well, I'll just go along the road. There's one house where all the trees and bushes and everything are still up. I don't think that they've sold their property. And frankly, I hope they don't, because they have an octagonal barn, which is a rarity. You don't see those. And a really nice farmhouse, big farmhouse too. But we're running into that. And data centers, you know, they consume a lot of electricity. They consume a lot of water. They have light pollution, noise pollution, maybe pollution. I don't know. I mean, Barry and Quentin are definitely going to know what's going on there, because they're trying to fight that down in Wilmington and Trenton, Ohio. And also Sydney to the north. I was going to say Cincinnati. I was just there yesterday. I had to make a hospital run for a friend, and That takes up the whole day. But needless to say, we went by Farrington Road and Washington Pike a couple of times to get to the interstate. And it's amazing to see all the trees that are down and all the congestion that's going to be on Farrington Road and Washington Pike. It is going to be something else. So it was a trip yesterday. It really was. Normally, I post things for the show, and I always put on other videos and other links. If you click on the comment section, you'll see some of the things we'll be talking about tonight. And if you go to past issues and click there, there'll be other things about data centers and so forth. And if you go to Money and Change and you click on the comment section on what's the posted as the leader, all the topics that we covered there will be listed in the comment section. And so if you miss the show, you go to YouTube or Rumble and you look for the show, and there you go. After the show is over with, I will take and go to YouTube. I will wait till the show comes up. I will click on the link, and then I will post it right here on our page in Facebook. And that way, if you miss the show, you can see the show, okay? Just go to YouTube and Rumble. Rumble always appears the day after it's posted in YouTube. I don't know why, but that's the way it is. What else is going on? Oh, daggone it. We've got Emma. And I always watch Emma when she comes on Facebook. And I thought, hey, you know, everybody's got kids. And when they get hurt, you know, they got all kinds of excuses. You know, my arm's falling off. I think I'm bleeding to death. And there's just a little scab or something, you know. Or Jimmy's up in the tree and he's trying to play Superman, that type of thing. Well, this is what Emma says to all that.
Are you blatant or are you just dramatic?
Well, did you die?
Then hush.
Oh, well, I've had worse injuries from shaving my legs. Don't say that.
I've seen squirrels take harder hits and keep running.
Well, that's what happens when you jump off the shed with no plan.
We ain't going to the ER. Rub some dirt on it and drink a Sprite.
Bee stings build character. You're fine.
Lord have mercy. You'd think your leg fell clean off the way you're carrying on.
You can cry, but you better cry quiet.
That ain't an injury. That's a consequence.
Well, I thought you was tough. You was talking so big earlier.
Oh, you better be hurt for real, because I just sat down.
Are you bleeding or are you just dramatic?
I'm not bleeding unless my friend's pet cat bites my hand. I'll tell you what, that cat, I swear she's human. She's 16 years old. And if I say for her to do something, she does it. She understands everything that goes on. But I'll tell you what, when kids get hurt, oh yeah, Emma really goes on. And I'll tell you what, my dad said, if you got hurt, don't come crying to me. Just go put a Band-Aid on it. All you have to do is do that. And if you want something to cry about, I'll give you something to cry about. Well, that's Emma. And I really like her humor. So we'll go from there. How's that? Hey, a lot of things are popping up lately, and we'll get Barry and Quentin in here in a minute, but there is a big meeting in Cincinnati at Zimmer Hall at the University of Cincinnati, and that's going to be this Saturday, the 21st, from 1 to 4 p.m., and there's going to be a panelist group, and there's Kyle Johnson from the Ohio Environmental Council. There's Molly Bryden, Policy Matters Ohio, Ben Murray, Food and Water Watch, Prescott Balch. I don't want to say Belch, that's wrong. Sorry, Prescott. Prescott Balch. And then there's Paul Lambert and Representative Greg Landsman. Casey Putsch, candidate for governor, and Jordan, I believe it's Hare or Harry, candidate for the 47th district. It's a free event. It's open at 12:30, and that will be in the auditorium at Zimmer Hall at the University of Cincinnati. Now, if you are coming from outside Cincinnati, you want to find your way to M.L. King Drive or Martin Luther King Drive. And you want to take that and go to the University of Cincinnati and look for the Langsam, L-A-N-G-S-A-M, Library Parking Garage. And you want to park there. because parking at the University of Cincinnati is, I'll put it this way, it's a walking campus. So if you find a parking garage or a place on the street to park, take it. I know, because when I worked for the state of Ohio, the University of Cincinnati was my facility. I had all the buildings and I supervised the vending facilities and small food service facilities at the branch campuses as well as the main campus. And I used to walk that campus. Luckily, I had a placard I could put in the car window that told them that I was there doing an inspection and I could park in different places, but I had to be careful where I parked. And oh, by the way, in the library parking garage, do not park in Henry Winkler's parking space. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was actually the Fonz. Guess what? It wasn't. Henry Winkler is a real professor there, and he has his own spot. I took it once. I found out not to do that. But anyhow, just a little insight on the University of Cincinnati. It's a good school. A lot of students, I believe they have something like 40,000 students going there. And it's a walking campus. When you find a parking garage, hopefully you find a place to park, because other than that, you're going to be walking the whole distance. And from the Langsam Library parking garage, all you have to do is then go a short distance over to Zimmer Hall. And the auditorium is there, okay? When you're in Cincinnati, enjoy it. If you get a chance, go to Izzy's Deli. It's not on campus, but it's Izzy's Deli. It's some of the best food. I stopped there yesterday. Not that I'm plugging the place, but I mean, the food was good and it was packed for St. Patty's Day. So, you know, if you're in Cincinnati, Izzy's Deli is a place to go. Okay. Skyline Chili. Yeah, it's there. But Izzy's Deli is a really good place to go. Well, let's see if everybody is available here. Let's see if, well, I'm going to have to do something here. I'm going to have to invite Barry. And I'm going to have to invite Quentin. And there we are. Okay.
Hello, Stu.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Stu. Hi, Quentin.
Hey there, Barry. How you doing?
All right, yourself, sir?
Pretty good.
Good.
I'll tell you what. If you look at this and you see my bald head, and then you see Barry with a little bit more hair, and then you take a look at Quentin, he's got that long beard. It looks like a sequence there.
Hey, we put it all together. We have one good head.
And that's right. Okay, guys. In looking at all this stuff with the data centers and stuff, a lot of groups are starting to come out. And I'm seeing stuff coming out of Sydney, Ohio. I'm seeing stuff coming out of Wilmington. And there's been a lot of postings about Mount Oreb in that area. And one thing here, we've got the WilmingtonDataCenter.org is one space there, and that's the Wilmington Residents for Responsible Development, or the WRRD. And we've had people on about that. Jessica was on, and I'm trying to get people from Sydney to get them on the show. Also, to let you know, my friend Scott Phillips from the American Wood Shop. I've known Scott for a long time, and he's been taking videos of the drive along Washington Pike and Farrington Road, showing all the downing of all the trees and the big mess, I'll put it that way. And I don't know where to really begin. It really gets me sometimes that these government entities like to work deals behind our backs. And for example, I think I've got this here. No, maybe I don't. Well, I had it all lined up, and I think it moved on me. Like normal, I could never get anything right. Oh, there it is. Sydney Citizens for Responsible Development. And I've joined that group. They were really gracious about getting me in there. And they're trying to ask for transparency, the big word, the T word. And then again, the Ohio Residents for Responsible Development was another group. There it is. And I've joined that group too, only because I want to be informed. And if it wasn't for both Quentin and Barry here and Jessica, where would we be? Now, we've got people here in Piqua now that are actually going to the Sydney Development Group, and they're actually getting involved and going to the meetings and listening to see what's going on there. So I saw something that Quentin had posted, and let me see. No, we don't need Emma. We already had Emma. We had a thing that Quentin, you had posted. I like this artwork. I don't know. Is this AI?
It is AI. I can't barely draw a stick figure.
Well, those are good stick figures. Do they look representative?
They are three male members, so I don't know what they look like in real life. I just made sure that they were all three male members.
I see nothing.
As is the county prosecutor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sometimes that happens. And but to tell you, the movement is starting to get going because these are the gals from up at Sydney that went to go ahead and file a petition. And they got all those signatures. And they went, I believe they went to Columbus for this.
Yes, there was a group of people that went up. What was it? Tuesday, Barry?
It was Tuesday when they went up.
Barry and I talk outside of this as well. Barry and I know each other.
Well, I know. That's how you got me in touch with Barry. And I said, would you like to be on the show? And he said, well, who else is going to be on the show? I said, Quentin. He goes, oh, Santa. And I said,
so,
well, yeah, Santa's going to be there.
Barry probably knows more about this than what I do, but this is a group of people who are working on a statewide petition. And they have to do, so I guess, sort of a preliminary type petition where they needed at least 1,000 signatures, and they have to go up to Columbus and be dropped off for the Attorney General's office to review.
Right.
And then they do the big petition gathering.
He's got 10 days to get us some kind of an answer back. And then from there, it'll have to go through another different process. And by the time it's over, if it gets approved, we have to pick up 413,000 signatures by July across the state.
To get it on the ballot in November.
Correct.
And what's this for, Barry?
This is, let me make sure I've got it right. This is to do a ban on data centers that will be over 25 megawatts for the facility. So we're trying to ban all data centers in the state that's over 25 megawatts.
Now that would include just about all of them, wouldn't it?
That's correct, sir.
So in other words, we're trying to ban the data centers.
In other words, that's what we're trying to do, is ban the data centers for a long period of time until they can do something right and they can get some studies done that protects us instead of gives these cities all the right in the world to do what they want to do without any citizen input.
And that's why we need citizen input. For example, I guess last night there was something in Piqua at the city commission meeting. I wasn't there. I couldn't be there because I was in Cincinnati. But it seems like to me that the citizens were just kind of brushed off by the city commission. And they were talking about something totally different, and it was like the commissioners didn't even want to listen.
You know, and that's a common reaction, Stu. You know, as I'm getting more involved in communities around here, I'm hearing more and more all of us are having the same sort of experiences where things are hidden from us. When we bring up issues of concerns, it's poo-pawed and things like that. And, you know, the people, it seems like, that are sitting up at the dais want to believe this is all rainbows and unicorns, and it's not.
Well, it's actually, it's a money deal, and a lot of cities are really strapped for money. For example, up in Sydney, I heard from somebody that was a city on the city commission up there, and they said, well, the proposal was for this data center and the money coming into the schools and the city and so forth. And the reason why I personally wanted to look at it, according to that commissioner, was that Sydney has lost 600 jobs. Now, they have some big industry up there. ConAgra is a big one. And Copeland Industries is another big one. But they lost 600 jobs, and they're trying to replace employment. And yeah, I can see it that way. Yeah, okay, it's 600 jobs. But then we bring in data centers that use a lot of electricity, and AES is going to supply the electricity. But then the city of Sydney has to provide for wastewater and getting water to the facility, selling them water, which may make the city a little bit of money. The same thing in Piqua. We're going to supply the construction power for these buildings, and then AES will come in and supply the power. And then Piqua will supply the water and the water treatment for the wastewater from those facilities. And yeah, it makes some money, but there are associated costs with it, with the light pollution, with the thermal pollution that's going to come out of it, the water pollution. You know, are these data centers really going to be worthwhile having? And the other thing is, farther down the Miami River, you have Troy, you have Tip City, you have Vandalia, you have Dayton. Everybody's taking water out of well fields along that river because it's a big aquifer. And with the data centers coming in, they're going to use up, in some cases, up to 2 million, I believe it's 2 million gallons a day. And the river can supply, I believe, 8 to 10 million gallons a day. So they're saying, oh, that's nothing. We can do this. But what about the guy at the bottom end of the totem pole, all the way down to Cincinnati?
It'll be like the Colorado River, which is dry when it gets to the ocean.
We'll be spitting sand in Cincinnati.
Right.
And they're already worried in Cincinnati about the level of the Ohio River because it feeds the Mississippi. And sometimes the Ohio River is low in certain areas and they can't run the barges back and forth.
Right.
So they're worried about that too.
Well, you brought up a couple of things of interesting points, Stu. One, you know, this touched back on the moratorium. 25 megawatt is a key figure because any data center with more than 50 megawatt, the Ohio Siting Board could come in and put a power plant in without any local input. Well, minimal local input. So that's the 25 megawatt is sort of a safeguard against having that happen. And then as far as like the water issue, and getting, well, let's go back about taxes. The abatements on these, you know, I read a study somewhere that says each job that's created by a data center is costing about $1.4 million in tax abatements. You know, these things are not local job creators. And I have a study that I'm looking at right now is based upon Iowa and where the data centers have gone in there. And that's, you know, Iowa is probably very similar to Ohio in that they have the cheap resources that the data centers are looking for, the water, the power, and the connections to the broader internet. And these things are not local job creators. They are absolutely not local job creators. And the local school districts and services, police department, fire department, emergency services, they're giving up $1.4 million for each job that's being created. And it's a net loss on that. You still have to provide services, but they're afraid to say no.
Well, I'll tell you what, Quinn, I think we were kind of texting back and forth. I saw this notice that you had, environmental infrastructure, public safety, housing impacts, and demand for enforcement. And it was a Wilmington annexation resolution. I've got it on the screen right now.
So, and I don't know all about Barry's circumstances up there. You know, we're dealing with what was an annexation here in Wilmington, and it is almost like a spear into the uninhabited part of Clinton County. Mm-hmm. And we have had, or at least I have seen and heard, and people who are living in that unincorporated area are not happy about not having a voice into being able to address the impacts from the data center. And I've been researching various issues. So I pulled up the resolution that said, hey, here's the services that the city of Wilmington will provide. And it goes out and lists the police service and the fire service and the wastewater service and potable water service that will be supplied. But when you flip the page, it goes into section 2, and where it says, if we zone this where it's not compatible with the existing uses that are still in the county, we will mitigate them. So I took that, did a little bit of research, and went to sent this email to the trustees that the property, that the parcels were annexed from, and said, hey, you guys and the county prosecutor need to step up and enforce the rights of your people that are still in the unincorporated area and are being impacted, to make sure that when this data center goes in, the impacts are mitigated.
Yeah.
I haven't heard crickets.
So, well, I know. And that's what you said.
And that's why I have started, you know, I sent that email a little bit more than a month ago, and to allow them time to look at it. And I didn't even get an acknowledgement that they received it. And so this week is when I went out to the Facebook page that I administer and did a call to action to the citizens who are in the unincorporated area and said, hey, this is something that you can do to make sure the issues that you have are addressed. Send them a notice on this, because one of the things, and I talked about being a representative government today, and I've seen people in the community here say, hey, it's a representative community. They're paid to make, you elected them to make decisions. You may not like those decisions, but that's what they're supposed to do. No, that's not exactly what they're supposed to do. It's supposed to be, they represent us, they find out what issues we have, and act accordingly.
We have a similar situation here in Trenton. It just got a little more complex, kind of, with our city government. 2 weeks ago, they decided that they were going to limit our speech time. We had to be a city of Trenton citizen to be able to speak to council, even though the data center impacts several communities around us. Mm-hmm. And we took it to the news media. The news media got involved. They called a special session a week later and actually had to eat a little crow and rescind quite a few things that they had proposed to do to us. But at the same time, I'm finding we have a farmer that's on our group page here that has adjoining property to Prologis. And right now the city's telling them, well, they might have to come on your side. They might tear up your property. They might have to cut down some of your trees to put their fence right on the property line. And we don't even know if they know where that property line is actually at. So we got to dig deeper, just like Quentin is there, to find out how to protect communities that's going to be impacted because of a city's decision.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I saw what Quentin had posted, I thought, wow, a lot of towns that are facing data centers and, construction or proposals and so forth should take a look at this format because they could use it.
I was actually researching something else when I had the resolution up and was reading that. And I was like, oh, I think I can leverage this.
Now, see, I went to do it, and it moved on me. I'll have to get
disappeared that. On you. I'm going to back up for a second. Y'all were talking about water, and I'm going to kind of make both of you laugh.
Okay.
Our city was in Wilmington back in August. Our mayor was. There was a video produced of him talking to some people there in Wilmington that we were going to need water that neither the city nor Southwest Water could provide. And I've got that video on my page, and I think I've posted it elsewhere as well to verify the story. Well, to make the long story short, now the city is telling us after they went to Hilliard and viewed a data center that we're only going to need 15 million gallons of water a year for a 1 million square foot data center facility, which averages just over 41,000 gallons of water per day to keep the system cool. The mathematics don't work.
They didn't pass mathematics.
They did not, sir.
I don't think they took high school civics either.
And they're running the place?
Yeah, that's the scary part, Stu.
I know it.
It's scary what you see regarding rights and how government's supposed to work. My oldest stepson teaches high school, and back in the last spring, I asked him, I said, do they still teach civics in high school? I mean, it's really pathetic what you see across the board. It's not just the elected officials, but it's the citizens themselves who aren't aware of how their government should function.
For sure.
That's true. I'll tell you what. Education that I have seen over the past 20 years has gone downhill because students don't know how to write cursive. And now they're starting to show them how to write cursive. And for a long time, they were printed. You get them into college or a trade school, and you have to teach them English all over again and how to read and write, especially football players at some colleges and universities. Okay. Basket weaving, yeah, they can pass that. Advanced mathematics, forget it. But, you run into this kind of stuff. And you wonder what's going on in the world of education.
Well, and this goes back to what I was talking about, Stu, where it's just across the board. I thought this was something that was limited to Wilmington. I've been speaking up on these issues for over 2 years now, not just related to data centers. Data centers just the most prevalent issue right now. But this is across the board. They don't understand sunshine laws. That When I first checked to see if they'd taken the required sunshine training,
No, most
of them had not. And then when I did get the certificate, it was usually dated a day or two after I sent the request in. Well, at least they took it.
So they understand it.
Well, tell both of you out on your civics and education class. I invite both of y'all to come down and go to a city council meeting with me tomorrow night to see y'all can see what goes on in other cities. I think you would both be excited and interesting to see how it goes.
Well, I'll tell you what, here in Piqua, they had a situation, the infamous battery burning and so forth, and people were talking at commission meetings. Well, then they suddenly changed the rules and they said, well, you're only allowed to do 5 minutes. And they had a timer set up and somebody was supposed to keep the time. And they would be asking questions. Well, then they said, well, the questions you're asking has to be pertinent to the topic that we're discussing right then and there, whatever resolution it was. Okay, they would make changes there. And now it's like, okay, tell us what you want to tell us or ask us the question for the topic we're covering, and we'll get back with you. Nobody wants to give an answer there. And they were putting the city commission meetings on YouTube and Facebook, and you could actually watch them. And in my case, I always had a lodge meeting on the Tuesday nights that it was going on, and I was a lodge officer, so I had to be at lodge. I couldn't go to the city meetings, but I watched them on YouTube, and sometimes you wondered, what the heck is going on? And people have really good questions, but then the city commission doesn't want to answer the questions. Well, we'll get back with you. Like, we have to run it through a team of attorneys and soothsayers.
They don't understand that if they're more open and transparent, they would get buy-in a whole lot more easily.
Yes.
And you end up with a better product as well, when you actually listen to what people's concerns are and work to address them. And it's just a lack, you know, I look at who we have as, like our mayor is a former law enforcement officer. So it's chain of command type leadership, as opposed to a shared leadership type approach, or I like to call it a servant leadership type of approach, where you're put in a position, an elected position, not to make yourself appear better or stronger, but to help the people around you to be better and stronger, to help the community be better and stronger.
A collaborative effort. That was my management style. There were certain rules and administrative procedures we had that was all cut and dry. But then beyond that, you had your little gray areas and so forth, but you'd say, okay, how can we make this better? How can we fix this problem? And then everybody had buy-in on fixing the problem. And we didn't have a lot of budgetary problems because we sat everybody down and said, okay, this is the money that we're going to get. Now we have to budget this out. So what projects do each of you have that are going to involve maybe $100,000, $500,000, or $1 million project? And how are you going to get the money? If you don't use the money, where are you going to send it to? And it was all collaborative. And by the time we finished up with our work session, which might be a couple of days, putting it together, everybody had a total buy-in on it. They went back and they told their managers, this is what we decided, this is what we worked on. And everybody bought into the system. And so we had a very good budget set up that way. And that was just one of the ways that we did our management business, okay?
I did IT security for 30 years and managed the global team. I had people in China, Indonesia, India, Europe, South America. And I told my team members, if all you do is tell me yes, you're no good for me. I said, we help each other be better by challenging each other.
That's it.
And I think maybe it's some insecurity associated with being in their position. Maybe they have a bit of the imposter syndrome where they're afraid that someone might find out that they don't actually know what they're doing.
And that happens.
The thing I'm finding out, especially here in Trenton, is even though they know they've made a mistake, it's very hard for them to say, I made a mistake. They would rather go on through with that mistake thinking they can fix it later than just go ahead and fix the mistake now with the help of the citizens just there in Wilmington. They're in Piqua because I talked to Kim Heisler in Piqua. Oh, yeah. I talked to Kristen Allen in Sydney. Just talk with us. Talk with Quentin Kidd there in Wilmington. Talk with Miss Baker down in Mount Orab. Talk with the citizens. We will help you through your mistake, but listen to us. We're in tune with what's going on with our community. Just listen to us. Because we elected you don't mean you're more powerful than we are, because we're the one that got you there. So listen to us, because we can't get you out of there when the time comes.
And a lot of people don't understand that part. You know, they get elected in there, they can be unelected out of there. But what I've been telling people in Piqua is when they have a city commission that's run by a charter system, you either have statutory or you have charter in the state of Ohio.
Yes.
Statutory, you have to follow the law exactly as it is. The same thing with charter, except you have leeway to add to it
what you need at the time.
That's right.
Because that's what we are here in Trenton, is a charter, and I hate it.
And if you went statutory, it's all cut and dried, and you can't make for allowances sometimes. There's got to be some give and take. Quentin?
I just want to put a caveat out there. Not all elected officials are ignoring us. I've had some elected officials in other communities who've reached out to me behind the scenes for advice. They may not be facing a data center in their community yet, but they're educating themselves about that. And the other issue that's out there that bothers me is the lack of understanding of ethics. And ethics in government, and ethics in your personal business relationships as it relates to government. You know, our planning commission has a realtor on it and a developer on it. Now tell me how that is compatible with doing planning and zoning decisions.
That's a hard answer.
Well, right. Everybody gets their hand in the pot, kind of. You know what's going on, but they have expertise in what they're doing.
They do have expertise, and they have to be very careful. Now, the realtor, after initially participating in some of the discussions around the data center, has since recused themselves.
That's the big word, is recusal.
Right.
And somebody on the city commission will say, well, we've hashed this problem over, but I've got a conflict, so I'm going to recuse myself and not vote.
Well, it's more than just not vote. It's actually step down from the dais and don't participate at all. Right. About a month ago, I sent a email to the city attorney and CC'd the mayor because he was participating in the deliberations with the city council. You know, this is the type of civics thing that I'm talking about. They lack an understanding about how government should work, basic functions of you know, making sure that the different branches of government aren't stepping on each other's toes.
Our branches of government here, each one of our councils in our city has a city member of our city council on it. So whether it's planning, we have somebody from city council on it. If it's zoning, we have somebody from city council on it. If it's our CIC, somebody from the city council is on it. So no matter what goes on in our city council has a hand in it from the start of the process all the way to final vote.
And, you know, Barry, you brought up CIC and, you know, Sue, this is one of the ways that we leverage what other people's learnings are. Barry talked about that on Facebook the other day, or maybe it was in Messenger. And I went out and Wilmington has a CIC. So I went out and pulled the activity of it for like the last 12 years to see what was going on in there.
For people out there, define what a CIC is.
Community Investment Corporation, isn't it, Quentin?
Yeah,
Community
I think that's what it stands for. Basically, it's a nonprofit that's set up with community members on the board and, you know, elected officials, representatives, and it's so that they can buy property and not be subject to some of the disclosure rules that if they were doing it in public, they would have to do.
And they were a 501(c).
Yeah. Pardon?
Ours is with a 501(c), so that's how they're getting by with it.
Right. And it's a little sketchy. I think Barry has much more sketchy stuff than what I found with us.
Ours has the town manager's wife actually chairing the board, our city mayor, and one other person within our city government on our CIC.
And weren't they buying property, the city buying property and then giving it to the CIC, who was it around the same day and giving it to, I'm going to call it just developers?
Correct.
For a dollar?
No.
It's crazy. And we've also Free. Found out they've taken land by eminent domain and has either given it to Prologis, which when you take land by eminent domain, it's supposed to be for public use, or something's going on. Because I was going to try to speak on that at our city planning committee last month, but they wouldn't let us speak. So right now we've got a situation where the purchase agreement for Prologis has four tracts of land on it, but somehow mysteriously they've gained this fifth tract of land that was taken by eminent domain.
Well, guys, we're going to have to wrap this up real quick. You got 30 seconds each. Any summarization?
Come to Cincinnati Saturday, 1 o'clock to be with us. It's going to be a good time. We've got some really great speakers lined up. Prescott Balch is coming in from Wisconsin. We got a gentleman coming in from Missouri. We've got Mr. Lambert coming down, which Quentin and I both talk to quite regularly from Hilliard. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a lot of information, and everybody's welcome to come.
And the representative for District 1, Lanceman, is going to be there. He's going to be one of the first speakers because it has another engagement. So if you want to hear him, get there early.
Yes.
Hey, guys, we're out of time. Thanks for stopping in, guys. We got a lot covered. There's a lot more to go, but we'll get through it, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks for coming. Everybody,
bye, guys.
Have a good evening.
Check us out on YouTube and Rumble. And with that, we're out of here.
In a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
And that's it. It's a wrap.